This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over, right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Ron Coomer, one of God's great men, and he joins us now on The Score, the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Coom!
Oh, no.
Did we lose Coom?
What have you done, Dustin?
What have we done?
What, at long last, have you done to us?
Got to work on those mechanics.
Ron, are you there? Ron, if you're mad at David, don't say anything.
Why would he be mad at me?
He's furious with
you. He's furious. No reason to be furious.
Ron, oh my gosh.
Thank goodness, Coom.
Boy, I apologize.
That was definitely not a Dustin. It was a Coomer issue.
No, I apologize on behalf of David. I don't know what he said.
He was probably right, so it's okay.
He's got to make some adjustments there, Coom.
Yeah, I tried, and it didn't work out real well, David.
Yeah. Well, you know Matt Shaw.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
You know, let's talk about that for a second, because we I guess there was a thing on the MLB Network where they were talking about Miguel Vargas of the White Sox and how he moved his hands up and it's changed his whole game, and they said that it's been the most dramatic change they've seen since the MLB Network came on. And so we started talking about it, and we talked about Matt Shaw in relation to that kind of idea. That I'm just curious, Ron, do you have to be a young player? Do you have to be a relatively new entity to the big leagues in order to make an adjustment that changes you? Or could the right hitting coach change anyone? Could you fix any problem if you went about it the right way, even with a veteran player?
I would say that's a good question. I think for the most part, if you're going to make a change, a dramatic change, the hitter and the player, if the hitting coach throws that out there, the hitter's got to be open to it, first and foremost. And if you're not open to it or you're not 100% all in, it's not going to work. But when you have a lot of failure, you know, that tends to, you know, get you, you know, opening your ears a lot more and your eyes and trying to figure out the why I'm not successful. And that's where, you know, I think for Maddie Shaw, I think that's, you know, he found that, you know, they were finding his holes in his swing, and his minor adjustments at the plate early in the season were making it worse. He wasn't making it better. So he really needed another set of eyes and another person to give him some suggestions, I believe, to kind of, you know, mold him back into an athletic position and then let his ability as a hitter kind of take over again, because he's always been a good hitter. So that's still in there. But, you know, sometimes you put your body in a bad position and you just can't make a good swing. And that's what I saw, the position he was in. Now he's in a much better position to hit.
Ron, I really enjoyed your explanation the other night with Pat in a conversation about Pete Crow Armstrong and how, speaking of hitting mechanics, how he has been able to keep his barrel of the bat in the zone longer and how he's right. taken advantage of that to become more of a power hitter. I wonder if you could condense that explanation because it was really, I think, instructional on how we should understand what's going on with PCA because it isn't just, okay, boy, that kid's got natural ability. It's something he really has worked on and the Cubs have worked him through.
Well, there's like a progression, David. If you're a young hitter and you've always been like Pete and Matt, you've always dominated wherever you've been, right? So, you know, making adjustments is not tops on your priority list. Why? You're the best player in every league you've been in. You know, high school, college, pick it. You know, they're the best. Now all of a sudden you're playing with the best, you know, 300 players in the world and you're facing the best pitching. Well, now it's time to make some adjustments. What do you do? I thought John Malian watching Pete through the winter, like batting or spring training, through some of the things that I'd watch in batting practice at Wrigley last year, this year, using the other side of the field. And what that does, and this is my terminology, it might not be John's or Pete's, but in the terminology I used as a hitter and was used, you know, with me, was staying inside the baseball. And what that does is it allows your hands then to cover the hitting zone for a lot longer. So if your hands, if the barrel is back, your barrel's still in the hitting zone, but it's behind your hands, that's a ball that's going to go to left field for Pete. If his hands stay in that same path, but they get out in front of his body, now all of a sudden that barrel is going to start coming down and into the hitting zone out in front of home plate, all still able to hit the ball fair with authority, but now you get the ball out in front, and that's where these pulled home runs are coming from that we're seeing from Pete. That's kind of a simple way of doing it without being able to really show you, but the thing about using the other side of the field is it allows you to see the ball longer, you get a short direct swing, and you get a result of a line drive the other way. Pete's hit some home runs that way. All of a sudden, when you do that, the head stays still, the body stays still, the hands work real well, and now you see the ball longer, better, and now you're able to get to the ball inside much easier also, and that's where you're seeing all this power come from.
I just want to ask you a simple question about each guy, about Matt Shaw mm-hmm. and Crow Armstrong. I think with Shaw, the way that I saw it explained, and I wonder if it's as simple as this, his leg kick was over his waist to the point where when he came around, he was late when he first came up here. And by reducing that, they got him kind of on time again. And that's been the change with him. And as far as PCA is concerned, I saw this statistic that blew my mind that he, and if you think about it, I think we remember the home runs. He has two home runs that he's hit where they were the two lowest pitched balls hit for home runs this year, where it's almost yeah. like a golf swing where the guy is like coming down.
The two iron.
Yeah, and he's just whooshing, you know, you almost hear a golf connection. How does that happen? And you know, is that a good sign?
It is a very good sign for Pete. I would say this. Most left-handers years ago handled the ball down better than up. They handle the ball down and in better yet, and that's Pete. Pete is very traditional in that sense. If you watch, when he starts to go to attack the ball, he really uses his lower body, and his lower body kind of goes down into the swing. And because of that, he's not a very big guy, but he's a very strong guy, very strong lower body. You can tell by the way he runs and everything yep. else. But then all of a sudden, you're using your core muscles, whether it be your quads, your glutes, your hammies, you know, and your midsection. And that's where his power is coming from. And that's why he handles that ball down so well. If he could, you know, it's easy to say. It's not easy to do. And I had the same struggle. And he's not having many struggles right now. But the ball up is a pitch that if he can lay off of, that's going to be beneficial to him. Just for a swing path situation. And then what some of the teams are doing is they're throwing the ball down and into him, which he likes, but they're not throwing it even close to the strike zone. And on occasion, he'll chase that, which we all do. That's just part of it. But better him chasing the ball down than chasing the ball up. That would be my, you know, simple thoughts on his approach to hitting. But right now, I wouldn't change a damn thing, man.
Nope. Not.
Wow.
Not right? All the news has been great from the Cubs, because Miguel Amaya going on the injured list and being out 4 to 6 weeks is a tough blow, Coom, for a guy who is having a very good year, and they certainly have come to rely on him, not just at the plate, but the way he has called games. What should they do now? Is Reese McGuire the stopgap option that makes sense? Do you maybe consider bringing up Moises Ballesteros because of his bat, or do you just kind of ride this out as long as you can?
Well, the way it looks right now, I don't think the Cubs, and I say Cubs, I don't think Collins has a lot of confidence in Ballesteros behind the plate is the way it looks.
Yeah.
He's still a young catcher in the sense of being a big league catcher. So he's still got work to do behind the plate that he needs to do. As a hitter, he's a big league hitter. But what's the need for the team? The need for the team is to have Carson Kelly now be your number one, and you need a guy that can catch. That's why Kelly's doing so well and Amaya were doing so well. They were almost on that every other day or something along those lines kind of thing, and it was working. So why change that? And I think as long as McGuire keeps doing what he's doing, he's looked very good behind the plate. He's throwing the ball just fine, and he's got some hits. You know, I mean, he dumped right out there and hit two home runs his first game, but he doesn't look overmatched at the plate at all. He looks just fine. So I think with the catching situation that you're seeing right now is what they're going to go with for a while, and McGuire's going to be the backup guy or the number two guy.
The weather should be good today, Coom. There's reports it'll be in the mid-70s, which is always a wonderful thing to have happen. We're inching ever closer to the to Sunday, which is June 1. But like, I guess next Monday and Tuesday, it'll be in the high 80s. I mean, it just, why is it easier to play baseball in the heat? Why do players tend to hit better? I mean, is it because the wind's not blowing in? What is it about the sun that, you know, especially with some guys from, you know, different climates, you always hear, wait till the weather changes. And how much better can the Cubs offense get?
Cubs offense can get quite a bit better, actually, believe it or not. I mean, when the wind is blowing out and or not blowing, like the last game in the series, the wind, you know, was 3 or 4 miles an hour. It was blowing in, but it wasn't affecting the game. Wrigley Field, the hard part about Wrigley is people can sit in the bleachers in the sunshine with the wind at their back blowing right over the top of them and not feel the wind at all and be in shorts and t-shirts. And if you're sitting behind home plate in the dugouts, you're on the field where the wind gets to you, it could be a 30-degree difference.
Right.
And that is fact. That's not, you know, we joke about it, but that's the truth, man. And that wind blowing off the lake, blowing the ball in, as soon as the ball gets up above the stands, the game gets totally affected by the wind and the cold. So that's why it's so difficult. And you really have to be two types of hitters at Wrigley Field. You have to understand that when the wind is blowing in like that and it's cold, you've got to keep the ball out of the air. You hit the high fly ball, it's just an out. Now today, 70 degrees, sun, if the wind's blowing out of the south and it's blowing out, you don't want to hit a ground ball. You want to get everything elevated. So you really have to be two types of hitters, and that's not always the easiest thing in the world especially for a young hitter that's, you know, just trying to figure out his swing to begin with to be in the league. So, but there's a major difference in the way you play. The Cubs would play more small ball with the wind blowing in. They're going to run a lot more. Wind blowing out, you're going to see guys looking to elevate the baseball, and the running game will slow down some. You know, you ever going to tell Pete Crow Armstrong not to steal? I don't think so. You know, but there's some guys that, you know, you don't want to make outs on the bases. Let's put it that way.
Speaking of speed, Coom, in what ways are the Cubs, or maybe you can explain why the Cubs are such a good base running team and make such an impact in manufacturing runs that way by use of their speed, but in what ways is that happening well beyond just the obvious thing that they're fast?
I would say emphasis on base running. When when your manager and his coaching staff put an emphasis on getting the next 90 feet or adding a 90 feet to whatever you're doing and looking for that, some players do that naturally. I think probably on the Cubs right now, that's been there for a while, not just this year like Pete, but like a Nico Horner. When you watch Nico play, and he puts the ball in play, it always seems like he's pushing the defense to stop them from going the next 90 feet. If it's a single, he's taking a big turn and he's making them shut him down from going for a double. If it's first to third, they're shutting him down at second base. So if there's an emphasis with the whole club on getting an extra 90 feet, boy, that gets contagious. And when guys start doing that, and making that play happen, even if it's close to third or wherever it is. And boy, the dugout, that's just like a shot of adrenaline in a dugout. And I really believe most of the guys, if not all, are really buying into this base running, putting pressure on the defense. It's fun, too, because you're watching a guy like Pete Carmstrong hit a ball in a gap, and the ball's already on its way in, and he's coming around second, and he's going for three, and you're like, here we go. Let's see what's going to happen. And a cloud of dust at third, he's safe, and the place goes up for grabs, and, Wrigley Field is rocking, and it's fun. So I really think Towns and his coaching staff have got guys buying in on taking another 90 feet, David, is taking the extra 90 feet. I really believe that.
So we've waited a few days to get the Genesis Cabrera era going. Just generally speaking, do you like multiple lefties coming out of the bullpen? Is that a big deal, a minor deal? Is that a good thing to have? And, clearly here's a guy that they like, and they feel like, the Mets got rid of him and there's value there. So they jumped on it, and I got no problem with it, but I just wonder if the whole lefty-righty thing is overblown out of the bullpen.
Well, it's one of those situations now where you look at lineups, Mike, and the lineup goes left, right, left, right, left, right, yep. Or right, left, right. They go every other. And they do that just to combat, with the new rules, that left-hander dominating, right? So you have, they've got to come in and face three hitters. Well, Cabrera is a guy with his ability to throw hard. I think they just love that idea, and they've seen that against the Cubs where he's been dominant at times. So can you send him to the minor leagues and work with him and get him throwing more strikes and throwing more quality strikes, maybe, working on his breaking ball or his change up a little bit to make that more effective, because it doesn't have to be a lot more effective.
Right.
When you throw 95 to 100, it just needs to be a little bit more effective. Daniel Plunts, he's one of those guys, right? Just a little tweak, and next thing you got a dominant pitcher. There's definitely ability there. And when you can throw 95 to 100 miles an hour, but it's worth the risk. I really believe that.
Coom, 30 seconds. Why is Matt Shaw seem better defensively as well as offensively? He's making some great plays at third base.
I think confidence, hard work, feeling of belonging in the big leagues, David. Confidence in getting a few hits has helped him. Just feeling that feeling of belonging, at this level. I think that's something that, carries over to all of your all the parts of your game. I really believe that. Scouts all told me he's going to make the great play. It's the routine play at third base that he just needs to keep working on, and we'll get it. I think what we're seeing is his athletic ability making the great play. The ones that make me feel good are the not so routine, but they're a play at third baseman should make. He's making those too now. and making them fairly regularly. Like, that's, you know, you're not over there going, is he going to make that play or not? He's making all the plays. I think it's a confidence and a belonging, a sense of belonging in the big leagues, and that's carrying over.
Great stuff, Ron. Always a joy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Coom.
I'm sitting in the sun right now, guys, in my place downtown. It's going to be 75 and sunny. Wrigley Field will be rocking tonight.
Oh, yeah. Ball be going out.
Enjoy.
See you,
yeah,
buddy.
You have a great weekend, boy.
You too. That's great stuff. That's our guy, Ron Coomer. Always fun. 312-644-6767. We got our guy, Mike Palm. He's going to be in studio. We'll talk to him next. It's important to have friends in the desert, and it's important to have them in studio when they're in town. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm. Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D and Golden Gate.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Twitter at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We don't have to go out to Vegas. Vegas comes here. We have Mike Palm here in studio. Mike, you look like a million. Congratulations on all your success in life, and welcome to our studio.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be back in studio with you. A big thrill. I mean, I couldn't think of any other show I'd rather be on than maybe John Williams on WGN.
There you go. That's a nice plug for the competitor.
Yeah, there you go.
So you're going to Wrigley today? You're out heading. When you go out there, obviously as a Cub fan, I'm sure like most Cub fans, you walk in and it's today's game, but it takes you back to a place, maybe your first visit, maybe the most memorable visit. What goes through your mind, what will later today when you walk through the gates?
You know, I came every year as a kid from Dubuque, 3.5 hours, and my dad, diehard Cubs fan, so we came at least once a year. I remember they played right after the All-Star break. They had had a rainout with the Dodgers, and they played a 5-game series with the Dodgers. It was like a doubleheader, and they got swept. And we went over for the doubleheader sweep. I remember that being a low point in my youth with the Cubs. But you know, it's, you know, just to walk back there, and then of course we're going to get to go up in the booth with Pat and Ron again today.
Great.
So
excellent.
It's a big thrill. We're sitting out in the bleachers. It should be awesome.
Oh,
we're doing
doing
the tailgate. You know, in the parking
weather
lot.
Weather is going to be agreeable.
I was scared of rain all week, but it looks going to be perfect.
77, they said.
And it's a big day for the Score and Circus Sports Illinois today. 10-120, Rahimi and Harris, along with Mark Grody, broadcasting live from the parking lot outside Wrigleyville Dogs on Clark, followed by Zach Zaidman's pregame show until the first pitch. Fund the Circus Sports Illinois. Find it. Find the app. Not fund the app. You can do that as well. But the Circus Sports Illinois app to be eligible for some limited edition swag and promotions, plus food provided by Wrigleyville Dogs. Stop by starting at 10. All brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Of course, download the Circus Sports Illinois app today.
That may have been a Freudian slip, but of course we want you to fund.
Funding's
a key part as well.
they're going to be eating dogs. Our man, Mr. David, not a hot dog eater, doesn't necessarily enjoy the hot dog. Are you a hot dog guy? Do you
big hot dog eater?
Yeah. There's big nothing wrong with a hot dog.
It's a summer delicacy. You know, a hot dog and a
summer
beer.
Summer delicacy.
A hot dog and a beer? How can you not?
I think at Wrigley, you're prone to want to do that. If you're in Wrigleyville, that's where you want to go. And if you're going to have a dog, you might as well go Wrigleyville Dogs. That's the place to be. I've made an exception.
Yes.
I've made an exception.
I've got video evidence of David eating hot dogs.
We do.
So North Judson, one of the finer culinary places in the world.
That's right. So. It definitely is. Yeah. We have a lot of hot dogs, good popcorn there as well.
So how are we doing? We still have the Circa Grandissimo ongoing, right? This is the ultimate high stakes survivor contest. How are the entries going? $100,000 entry.
That's all.
We've all chipped in, and we just need someone with $100,000, and we'll be laughing.
Yeah. Well, we had the one entry the first day, and that's where we sit. But I'm not concerned, because if you're going to get in a $100,000 contest, you're not signing up in May to tie up your money for 5 months.
These guys
are going to be coming in the week before the season kicks off to sign up. And especially if we're not to the $1.5 million guarantee, then the poker players all come in because of the EV and the overlay and all that. So we'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's exciting, though. Yeah. That's a brainchild of whom?
Derek Stevens.
Okay.
Which is 90% of everything we do is a brainchild of Derek Stevens. But the reason he wanted to do it is because the strategy is going to be so much different, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can only have two entries, not 10.
Yeah.
And you're going to be competing against, 10, 20, 30, 40 other guys? So you're not worried about Christmas and Thanksgiving, because you're just trying to get to October and see who's left standing. It might not even make it till October.
That is really exciting. I mean, think about it. That is such a difficult – if you only have two entries, you better – make sure that you are winning early, which is when you don't know who's doing what yet, right?
Last year, after week five, 97% of it, right? September was a crazy month, all upsets.
Crazy.
I mean, if we had this contest last year, I don't think we would have made it till October.
Wow, that's incredible.
Now, you are going to be in the booth with Pat and Ron, the third inning with Derek?
Yeah we're going to start. I think it's the third. Derek said the fourth. Who knows? Mitch will get it all coordinated. I feel very lucky
do
that
some
in
color
the
commentary?
In the same way. Well, we just a little
break down
bit.
Matt Shaw's swing a little bit.
This is a proven third baseman. Anyhow, for me growing up, I got to meet Pat Hughes and Pat Foley like within a 6 month span. I mean, which is just a really thrill for a kid that listened to those guys growing up so much.
Y'all
so
did,
right,
yeah.
And even meeting Mully a few years ago when you guys were
another legend.
All the sports writers on TV.
Yeah, Mike was on the sports writers on TV.
I wrote a letter.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Bill Jouse read it. It was a letter criticizing Jouse, and he read it. He said, "Here's a letter from an eighth grader in Dubuque, Iowa."
Isn't that awesome?
He could take criticism well. Yeah. He had to, because he had strong opinions, and he was definitely a guy. I could see him having a lot of fun with that, getting a letter from an eighth grader.
And they sent me a T-shirt, right?
They mailed me
a T-shirt because they read my letter on air.
Bill was an absolute original. I remember when he was working at Hallis Hall, and we were sitting there talking one day, and he was asking me, had I tried this bar on the way home? There was a place, it was like a really nice spot, stop in there for a drink when I'm going home. And I'm like, Bill, like I'm going to be sitting here for about 12 hours. You know, I got no chance of trying anything. It was so much fun.
Rick Tallender, also part of that crew, left the Sun-Times. He had a nice going away party a couple weeks ago. And he's still writing, though. He's still writing. And he is writing for Fox32.com locally. He took a trip and went to Colston Loveland's hometown.
Right.
Went out to Idaho. Yeah. And that's a typical classic Rick Tallender story, taking the road less traveled and doing a great job with it.
It's in a way, it's sad, the decline of the newspaper, right?
Yeah,
I mean, as a kid that grew up, I was telling these kids that don't know about all the great columnists in the Tribune. Now it's online, right? And you can access everything online. But there's still nothing like getting the daily newspaper and reading it.
There was nothing like some of those people. You know, you get to know the people who worked at the paper, some of the columnists, and like a lot of them. We're leaving and writing television and doing different stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I remember John Shillian when he was at the Sun-Times. I mean, what a
gifted writer.
What a great writer, but also like, you know, kind of guy with an edge to him, if you may recall those stories too, David.
I've heard stories. I wasn't here when he was here, but
that
certainly
was unbelievable.
His reputation was still around. Yeah, I think it's just unfortunate. The business model was not sustainable. So thank goodness there are sports books to save sports media, right?
That's right.
It's true enough.
Because it's happening.
Yeah.
And it's the reality of the business today, because you have to have some kind of support, and that's what it is.
Do you think the Cubs are for real, or do you think they need to make a move?
No, I'm done. Pitching? I'm done with them after the week sweep. I mean,
the week sweep.
Are people even going to turn out today? I know it's a Friday afternoon, but after the week sweep, I think people turn their back on the team.
It's
a misnomer. That's an oxymoron.
Do you have a copyright attorney? You got to get that copyrighted.
Week sweep.
I mean,
it's a sweep, and it was great, but they're playing the Rockies.
Week sweep, week take.
I will. There you go. As I said, all that matters is you win, but for a guy that has to get up at the crack of dawn, I'd like to be able to go to bed. I'd like them to get some runs.
He'd like those 10-run innings or 6-run innings to come in the second inning instead of the 6 or 7.
That'd be beautiful. Yeah.
I think that they're going to win the division. That we know.
Looks that way.
You're going to have to deal with the Dodgers. I mean, they'll go add whatever they need to add and spend whatever money they need to add. And you're going to have to probably deal with the Phillies and the Mets in the playoffs. But, I mean, they've got to get healthy with their pitching. I'm a little disappointed. I thought the bullpen would take a big step forward, and that big step hasn't really happened. But they have to get healthy with
their
pitching.
How about Pete Crow Armstrong? Did you see that coming?
Listen, I did not see it coming. I bet Imanaga for Cy Young, and I bet Tucker for MVP. I felt good. Yeah. I thought that we were in the right. Boy, I missed this Pete Crow Armstrong thing. If you go back to August 1st of last year till now, his WAR is third in baseball, only behind Judge and Ohtani.
Hold on. Last August.
Think about that.
Today's May 30th. You go back to last August, and Pete Crow Armstrong has the third highest WAR
in baseball.
Judge, Ohtani, and
Armstrong.
PCA?
Yes.
That's MVP.
He's a legitimate MVP candidate. Absolutely.
And I don't know where it sits now, but he was ahead of Ohtani. He was behind only Judge. I think Judge has got an over 4 WAR, but that was leading for this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he definitely is.
And now Ohtani, I think, hits a home run every game.
He
for
does.
The last week, every
game. Also, leading off.
Yeah.
So why isn't MVP leading off?
That's a good question, especially with the speed and all the chaos he creates on the base path.
Chaos.
Yep.
He is, what did you say? He produces chaos anytime.
Yeah.
Or produces PC, chaos always.
PC.
We are here for the nicknames, Mike, obviously.
We're desperate to get that guy a nickname.
Yeah, we got
to
give him a nickname.
About it.
1 or 5, it doesn't matter. But he is, when you're that good, and he know what? He also, he enjoys the sport as much as anybody in the game.
That's fun. There's a Javi Baez type energy that he picks, that he delivers to the crowd and that he gets from the crowd. It's a very symbiotic relationship. Do people jump on MVP votes at this point, or do they stay away? Like, does a guy like that, with the season he's having, the first half he's having, will people get on it now that Memorial Day's over?
They're more inclined to bet MVP and Cy Young now than they are to bet futures on teams, right?
Okay.
Because it changes. The best record in baseball will change 3 times this week.
Yes.
It's the Phillies, then it's the Tigers. So it's hard, really, to handicap that. But you have guys that have arcs. I feel good I got in on Hunter Brown early in the year I think he's live. Scooble's a monster. But, I mean, Hunter Brown's live. I had him at 22-1. He was down to 5-1 at one point. But you just kind of catch these guys on their arc coming up and then try to get some value on it at the end.
Faith in Craig Counsell.
I'll say his tenure with the Cubs is the jury's still out. I think he did a great job in Milwaukee. I think the jury's still out here. Let's see what happens with this team.
You know, I think the problem with judging a manager is that there's only one solution. That if you don't win, then somehow you're not the greatest at what you do. So it comes down to, it's not enough to say, wow, they had a hell of a year, and boy, he did a good job with this guy. You got to say, well, where are the titles when you're judging guys?
It's very tough in pro sports because there's 30 losers and one winner
every year. That's exactly right.
So what do we need to know, Mike, about the Circa Million 7 and Circa Survivor?
Yeah, we're just running it back, really, with both the contests. Mm-hmm. Just remember the millions is the pick 5 against the spread every week. The great part of it is we do the quarterlies. So, I mean, it's hard. You're going through 18 weeks of picking five. Some weeks I can't pick a second game. But if you can get hot for a month in these quarters, I mean, we're giving away over $300,000 every quarter. We pay the top five best records and the worst record. And then Survivor is just, I mean, it sells itself. It's so fun. The journey you can get on if you can make a deep run. There's so much FOMO if you get knocked out early, right? You want to get back in, and that's why it just keeps growing. I know we guaranteed $15 million. I think we got a legitimate shot to get to a $20 million pool.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah, that would be something else.
Keeps
special.
Growing.
Yeah, it's incredible. I'm just curious. So the Bears, you know, we heard from Caleb Williams. We had this wonderful news conference where he straightened out all the feelings he had coming here weren't the feelings he has now, and he talked about watching tape and learning from it, and we know that Ben Johnson's a good offensive coach. Do you see any money moving in on the Bears? Are they moving the needle in any way? I love the idea that they're only favored to win seven games, but somehow the over-under is 8.5. That says something about Bears
fans. That says a lot about the Bears fans' gullibility factor.
You know how I'm tracking this? How the juice moves on the Bears and Vikings, who are both at 8.5, their win total. The money is coming in on under Bears and over Vikings. I track it that way. It's almost like a balance where it's one pot and one goes up and one goes down. Yet that opening game is not moving off 1.5, but the Bears still favored. And maybe they say it's J.J. McCarthy's first start and it's in a Monday night and it's in what traditionally has been a bad place for the Vikings to play. You know, the Bears have beaten them with worse teams than the Vikings through the years.
It's an opener. Season openers are funny, too, you know?
I think you can't. I don't know how they get to 9 wins if they lose that game, though.
Yeah, it's a huge game. I do.
It is a huge game. I've got them losing that game and getting to 9 wins because I do think that you could almost like take that away, separate it, and then start over. I think the Viking defense is going to give the Bears problems.
Well, I mean, I saw some tape of J.J. McCarthy yesterday at OTAs, and he had as good a touchdown pass. Like, he was under pressure. He cut. He turned. He cut. I mean, it was like – it looked like Mahomes. I mean, I'm not
he looked
claiming
healthy.
He is, yeah. But he looks like he's going to be a problem.
He's throwing some pretty good receivers, too.
Yeah.
And he has Kevin O'Connell, Caleb Williams' favorite head coach.
Yeah, best head coach out there.
He's pretty damn good. I have to tell you that.
He was great at Michigan. Local guy made good. We love him.
Yeah. So the Vikings have put all their eggs in that basket. Yeah. I mean, the only question was his knee, right? And that's why they flirted with Rodgers. But if they think he's healthy, it's full speed ahead.
Have fun at Wrigley.
Mike, thank you for coming in. Great to see you.
Thanks,
really
guys.
Appreciate your contribution. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Weak sweep. Yes, I am a confirmed moron, but that's okay.
Well, the Cubs have another chance today to start a sweep, continue the winning streak, which is up to 4.
Score some runs.
Yeah, score some runs. Andrew Abbott will be the opposing pitcher today for the Reds, and the Cubs have officially, it's TBD, but I think we're expecting Colin Ray, correct, Dustin? Colin Ray
is all indications.
All indications are, so this afternoon, continuing the homestand against the Reds. Pregame coverage right here, 12:45, first pitch, 1:20 on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. I wonder if the lefty being on the mound for the Reds means Michael Bush gets the day off, and it will rankle Dustin.
Yeah, I like him. I get it.
I mean, I understand why you do what you do,
but I think at some point you've got to acknowledge that. Let's just see. If honestly, if he can't get anything done, Can't you pinch hit him later? Can't you do something? Let's give him.
Well, there's another lefty on the mound tomorrow. Lodolo's going tomorrow for the Reds, so
he doesn't get to play.
You're not
going to
get back-to-back days off, right?
I know.
This goes back to this. Almost goes back, though, in all seriousness, to we were half kidding but half serious, to the game, the last game against the Rockies, mm-hmm. as they were going for the sweep, and they came out with what should be your opening day NLDS divisional lineup.
I was just going to reference that.
Right?
Yep.
So Michael Bush was part of that lineup, but maybe the reason he was is because they looked ahead and knew that he was either getting Friday and or Saturday. Let's just hope he doesn't. If we get back here on Monday mm-hmm. and he takes five at-bats over the weekend.
I'm saying,
does he pinch hit Friday or Saturday and then start on Sunday? If that's the case, you're going to have one really upset executive producer unless the Cubs somehow...
That's something to look forward to.
I feel confident we're going to have an upset executive producer regardless.
And that's different how?
Let's get to Wayne. Wayne is on the road. Hey, Wayne.
You say Wayne?
What's up, Wayne?
Is your name not Wayne, Wayne?
No, it's not Wayne. I use my last name, L-A-N-E, because it's hard to pronounce my first name.
Lane. Okay. Well, for the purposes of this call, can you please be Wayne? Just adapt
a
new personality. Thank you, buddy. Bless you. It's Lane. I'm sorry.
What's up, Lane?
It's all good. Yeah, I was. I hear you, Mark, the term weak sweep for the Colorado Rockies.
Yes.
You know, I was telling the producer, I was like, it could be actually Colorado's win as far as, even though they lost all three games, they threw three pitchers out there. It was pretty, they were decent. But I was looking at it like it's a win for them, even though they didn't win the series.
Because they didn't get blown out?
Because they didn't get blown out. They didn't get whooped. And, you know, that's how I was looking at it. Because any team could beat any team any day.
Right.
So I was looking at it like, when I'm looking at the game, I'm like, man, they should be stomping these guys.
Yes.
But then I'm looking at the pitcher, and I'm like, oh, the pitchers were pretty good. So I was looking at it, that could have been Colorado's win for them.
It's a good point. It's a good way to look at it. Yeah, I think the Cubs aren't going to complain about sweeping the Rockies, even as little as maybe their bats, how quiet their bats were, relatively speaking. But they'll take it. You'll take three in a row. By the way, we have breaking news here. On the Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories quickly. Orioles have announced that the White Sox game today has been moved to 3:30 Central Time because of inclement weather on the way. So the Sox game is a day game today at 3:30. It will be on, of course, the Chicago Sports Network. And so you want to adjust your clock, Sox fans.
Is it only me? Or are the Sox games getting moved because nobody cares about the Sox? Am I getting a little too...
Yeah, that's not the case, okay? No.
Am I getting a little too defensive about it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, let's just move that game. Well, you know...
Probably.
Who are they playing?
It's a smart...
Oh, the White Sox.
Oh, what would you rather have? A rain delay upon rain delay or get a game in so it counts?
How about a doubleheader, though, tomorrow and fill the park?
You guys got to be kidding me.
If you're playing the Orioles, don't you...
Two gates.
Don't you keep the crowd from going, Dustin?
Let's ask Bruce.
All of a sudden, you're going to take off of work at lunchtime and head over to the game?
We'll get to Bruce. We need to complain about things, David. Victories, sweeps. We're going to complain about everything. We got Bruce joining us next on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.